You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
So, I'm speaking on love, and I'm sitting next to Jason, and the communion comes around, and I take my biscuit, and I take my little cup, and as I take it, a big chunk of the biscuit falls into another one of the cups, and I'm like, oh no, what have I done? Just as I'm passing it across, and do you know what Jason does? He's reaching for a different glass. He puts it down, and he takes the one with a big chunk of biscuit that I dropped in there, so no one else has to have it. What a guy. What a guy. There is some love in this place. That's how you love your neighbor. He's having a good weekend. Good weekend? I had a wedding on a Friday. Who loves weddings? I love weddings. I want to tell you about my brother Phil. Who remembers Phil? Do you guys remember Phil Scrim? So my wedding day was the best day of my life. And Phil's my best man. And he gets up for the speech and he stands up there and he says, I want to show you my love for Stephen Ross through dance. So Phil Scrimger. So Phil. And he's wearing his long tails and he walks onto the dance floor. And he puts his tails behind him like this, and he starts doing big, prancing dance moves all across the dance floor. And everyone's just watching, laughing. What a guy. He just poured out his love to me, just loving and loving and loving. And then, it was very embarrassing. And then, a few years later, it's his wedding day. And he's like, Steve, I want you to be the best man. So I talked to the MC. I'm like, this is what happened. He goes, yeah, I know, I was there. And he goes, what I want you to do is to get the crowd to force me to do this dance, but I know I'm already going to do it. So he's there. The MC goes, well, tells a story about what Phil did for me. And he goes, now, Steve, we want you to show your love for Phil in dance. And I'm like, nah. But in my head, I'm like, hey, it's all planned. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. And the crowd's like, do it. He's got the whole crowd going, do it. I'm like, nah. And then I go, okay. But I'd already asked three other guys to join me. And so as soon as I say, okay, I put my hand out like this. And Chariots of Fire comes on. And I start dancing across the room for my brother. And then I welcome the three other guys that had already asked. But people didn't realize that the whole thing was set up. And when I asked these other three guys to join me, six other guys joined in as well. I had no idea that was going to happen. They just thought that it was all spontaneous. So there's 10 guys dancing around the wedding for Phil. And at the end of the song, we're all like over him on this big love heart and just loving on him. Weddings are a great place of celebration, as are covenants. And I'll come back to that. But I want to start with Romans 13, which is the passage that Pastor Ben has given for me to share on today. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today to reveal your love to us, that it would pour through our lives into those around us who need you so much. We open our hearts before you, Father. Let your word go right into us and transform us from glory to glory. Let us see the glorious love that you've given us to pour out over those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 13 says this, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There's one thing that you owe continually, that you continually owe, and there is no end to this owing, and it is not to fulfill the law, because in Christ, the requirements of the law for us have been fulfilled. We have his righteousness, we have his justification upon us. Yet there's still something we owe continually, and it's this. It is to love. It is to love. We will never fulfill the call of God in our lives to love. We will never complete it. We will never satisfy it. The movement and the thrust and the desire of God to love through us is unquenchable and does not finish. It is unending. Why? Because love fulfills the law. Love sums up the commandments, and love does no wrong. Point one today. The one thing you will always owe is to love. It's an unending owing. Next time you're hugging someone, just keep going. Just keep loving on them. Just keep giving them the love. It never runs out. If they try to get away, no. My love will never finish for you. I owe this to you. It's unending. Turn the love into a cuddle. That's my first point. Galatians 5. Verse 6, some people don't like the love of the hug, so maybe you shouldn't hug them too long at all. Maybe just give them a little sidey. Or when you shake the hand, just make it really warm. That's all they can handle. But do a really long handshake. Just keep going, I love you. Galatians 5, verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Galatians 5 is like a whole chapter that really opens up Romans 13 about loving your neighbor. And it says that your efforts to fulfill the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, they count for nothing, but Christ's grace for us does count. There is only one thing that counts for us, and that is faith working out through love. There is only one thing we owe continually, and that is to love. But this continue owing that we have to love and to love and to love, it's too hard. Who knows? It's too hard to keep loving. You run out so quickly. Who runs out quickly? I run out so quickly. Doesn't matter, because Galatians 5 verse 6 says it's faith working through love. John 1 verse 17 puts it this way, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. The law came through Moses, and the law was to teach us how to love. But grace and truth came through Christ, and the grace was to lavish us in the grace of Christ, so we can love and love and love and love. You are no longer under law. You are now under grace. In Christ, you have been lavished with His righteousness to fulfill the law. But also in Christ, you've been lavished with His grace to love unendingly. You do not love great because you are great. You love great because you have been lavished in the grace of Christ. So there is no limit to your loving. Romans 13 verse 8, in this chapter, in the first section of this verse, it says, literally, where it says to love another, it actually says to love the other. Is it saying here to love the other? First it says to love each other, which is like your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then it talks about loving the other. And that means the individual person, but not just the individual person. It's the person who is so different to you. There's you and there's the other. When I was a young whippersnapper, I fell in love with a beautiful woman. Her name was Rosalyn, and she was a lovely girl, and I was so besotted with her, just like in one of those 17th century movies, just dazzled, but she would give me nothing. In her church, she was called the Ice Queen, because the guys would come up to her all excited, and she'd just ice them. So I wrote her a letter, and I said, here is 10 reasons why you should let me go out for dinner, and 5 reasons why you should not let me go out for dinner. So I gave both points to the argument, and then a conclusion. In conclusion, you can see there's more reasons to let me take you out for dinner. I sent her the letter. It was more of an email, but that was what we did in that day. And I sent it to her, and I was like, okay, Roz, I want to come over to your house and talk to you. And I actually wanted to go over and ask her out. And she's like, nah, I'm sick. I'm like, okay, what I'll do is I'll come over. I've got this movie that's really good to make you feel better, The Princess Bride. And we'll watch it together. It's this real romantic movie. It's a little boy sick, and the granddad tells him a story. And I was like, I'm going to watch this movie with her. She's going to fall in love with me. So I go over there, and I sit in, and I come in, and I knock on the door. And she's like, hi, Steve, come in. Then she takes me out to the backyard, and she sits me there, and she starts talking to me. And then she says this. She ices me. She says, Steve, you're not country enough for me. I don't think you're going to fit in with my family. Don't even try. I was like, and I was like so ready just to romance her and tell her that I was in love. And then I was like, oh, I said, and it just came out real monotone. I think you look beautiful. I think you have a beautiful heart. I think you have a beautiful spirit. I got to go. And then as I left, she made me these delicious pancakes. And I felt even worse because I realized she was an amazing cook. And I'm driving home, and she sends me this. No, and I sit, and I thought, oh, what I'll do is I'll send her a text, and I'll say, what's my odds? 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 1,000,000? If she says 1 in 1,000,000, I'm going to back off. You know, I'm not going to overstep my boundaries. She says 1 in 1,000, I'm going to chase her down. This girl's worth it. Then she replies, 1 in 100. And I was so excited. So I rang her up, and I told her, not in a monotone, but with lots of excitement, how wonderful and beautiful she was. And slowly the ice melted, and I was no longer the other. I was brought in to her love. It's hard to love the other. But we are graced to love the other. And my wife has needed plenty of grace to love me. But she does it because she's graced. But we are graced in Christ to love the other, to go to the person who's so different to us, who we thought would never fit in with, and go and love them and love them. I'm not talking about you have to go marry someone who's really different to you. What I'm talking about is there's people in your life, and they're different to you, and they're so different to you, but you are graced with the love of Christ to connect with them and to love on them and to bring the love of God to them. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan. He was the one that was different, but he's the one who loved the other. The refugee is the different person. The Muslim is the different person. The child who's younger than you and maybe can't hold a great conversation, you're called to love them. You're called to go out to the other and tell them about Christ and to love them. I love this. We were the other. And the Trinity, who was so glorious and perfect, sent Jesus to earth to come to the other, those who had rejected him, those who were full sinners. He came to us who were the other, and he embraced us and washed us and brought us right into him. And though we were so different, he made a way to connect with us. We were the other. And God has called us, like Christ, to come into other people's worlds who are so different to us, and bring the love of God to connect with them. Amen? We were the other to the Trinity. The prodigal son, when he comes home to the father, he was the other. He had wasted his inheritance. He had dishonored his family. But what was the father's response? It says the father's response was celebrating. The father's response was to bring him right into himself. The father's response, it says, was dancing and singing. That was the sound that night, was dancing and singing. And just like Phil, who was dancing and singing over me when I got married, so the father sings over us and rejoices over us. This is where I live my life. Not out in the field like the older son of the prodigal, working and slaving for God. I want to live in that place of celebration where I'm enjoying the grace and the celebration of the Father, because I was the other and I didn't deserve it, but He brought me in to Him. It's so wonderful that the Father made a covenant with me. And this is something that I've been meditating on recently. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have made a covenant with me. So I now stand in that place of singing and rejoicing. And where the Father is before me through the grace of Christ, I stand in the grace of Christ. And it says that the Father took the fatted calf and He sacrificed it. And that's what's happened, is we come into the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't come to where the angels stand, further from the Father. We come right into the Trinity through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we stand in the arms and the love and the rejoicing of the Father, though we were the other. And the Spirit of God is to move through us to honor the Father. This is what we have been brought into. And for us, this same love that has been so lavished on us is now upon us to lavish upon others, that we would go after them to bring them right into our lives. And yes, there is a vulnerability to loving the other, but Christ showed us how to do it. He would do it even unto death, because such is the reward of love, to bring oneness with the other. Hebrews 8 verse 10 to 13 says this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will rejoice, and I will remember their sins no more. For in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. When we were brought into this new covenant, he now puts the law right into our minds, and he puts the law right into our hearts in an intimate place in the covenant. He now puts the law and he writes it upon us. Why? Because what is the commandment that Christ gave? It's to love God, and it's to love your neighbor, to love the other, to love those around us. That's what he's called us to do. And he comes in and he puts his Holy Spirit inside us, and upon our hearts, he convicts us to love, to love, to love. And it's not a law that he puts on a paper and a commandment in front of you. No, that was the first commandment. Sorry, that was the first covenant. And the new covenant, he comes right inside you and he writes it on your mind and writes it in your hearts. It's up to us just to let God write that right deep inside us, to write his law upon us. And it says this in there as well. For they shall know me. We have been brought into a unity and into a oneness with the Trinity. And it's through that oneness that we have been lavished with the grace of Christ to love. It's through that oneness with the Trinity that we've been given the Spirit of God. And it's through the Spirit of God that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we've been given the Father, who himself is love. There is no reason for you to have to try and strive to love. You have been brought into the covenant of love. You've been graced with the Spirit of love, with the Father who is love, with the grace of Christ to pour out, to pour out, to pour out a love that is never ending. Lawrence of Arabia was in Paris after World War I, and he had some of his friends, some of his Arabian friends with him, and he took them to the Louvre. Who's been to the Louvre? Anyone? Yeah, I've got a few people, some well-traveled here. Wonderful. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's got the Mona Lisa, I think. It does, eh? And he takes them there, and he takes them around. He shows them where Napoleon lived, and he's like, showing them all the greatness of Paris, of Paris. And then the one thing that blew their mind in all of Paris was actually in their hotel. And it was in their bathroom. It was the tap. They would turn it on and water would flow, and they were so excited about the tap. And when it was time to leave, he found them with a wrench trying to take the taps off. They said, there's not much water where we're from. We want to take these taps with us to get some water in our land. He explained to them, it's not actually the tap. It's the dam, it's the reservoirs, it's the plumbing that brings the water to us. And it's the same with us. It's not you that is the answer to loving, to loving, to loving, to continue loving. You are just the tap. There's a great reservoir behind you. There's a great plumbing system behind you. And do you know what it is? It's the love of God that is deeper and wider and higher. It's lavished. It's right there behind you. And all we're doing is turning the tap on for God to flow right through us into the other people that are around us. Just those people that we bump into every day. Just to turn the tap on and let the love of God, this great, deep love that the world longs for, to flow through us. Oh, that's so good. Luke 13. In Luke 13, there's a disabled woman there who Jesus encounters who has been disabled for 18 years. That's a big deal. And it's the Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't care about the Sabbath because love sums up the commandments. So what he does is he goes up to the woman and he heals her completely and frees her from the spirit that was disabling her, completely heals her. And then this guy stands up and he is the ruler of the synagogue. And he says, there is 6 days when you can heal someone. Today is a Sabbath. Don't do it on the Sabbath. And Jesus, who is the great answer to religious spirits, says this, would you not untie an ox on the Sabbath and take it to water? And they're all like, oh, I do do that. I do untie my ox and take it to water. So Jesus is like, why would you not take this daughter of Abraham and bring her to healing on the Sabbath? And everyone's like, bam. And then it says this, Luke 13, verse 17 says, all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. And it's like this. The first covenant had a glory. And you could see it in Moses that he veiled himself. But Paul, in speaking about the new covenant in 2 Corinthians 3, says this new covenant will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory. In the first covenant, Moses, they had to cover his face. But in this new covenant, the glory comes forth and the love of God flows through us and the woman who is bound is healed. The person who is struggling is freed. It says this also in that chapter in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so this love that is to flow through us is not just a love to continue. It's a love that is glorious because it's Him. It's Him. It's not you, the tap, striving to love. This person's so hard to love. It's not that. It's you resting into a great flowing reservoir of the glorious love. There's no limit to what God can do in your life. There is a great reservoir of love just waiting to flow through your life to the most simple people in your life, who are just the other, the salesperson who's so annoying There's just a great reservoir of love to flow through you. Your children, your wife, your husband, your friends, your boring friends as well. There's a great reservoir of love just waiting to flow through. And this love is glorious and it's freedom and it's Him 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 and it's Christ in you, flowing through you, which is the hope of glory. Which is the glory of God. It's so wonderful that in every moment of my day, I owe this to love the people in my life with a glorious, unending love that is Christ. And this is heaven coming to earth. This is the kingdom of God coming to earth. It can happen at every moment of your day because it comes through love. The movement of the kingdom of God is love. The movement of the kingdom of God is love. The movement of the kingdom of God is love, and it brings freedom and it brings heaven to earth. Point three, His love through you is glorious. His love through you is glorious. The ruler of the synagogue missed the glorious freeing love because he was focused on his own works, his own tap, his own efforts to obey the commandments. Jesus was focused on that the Spirit of God was in him in its fullness to flow through him, like in Isaiah 61, to bring freedom to the poor, to release the captives. And it's up to us not to miss that there is a great reservoir of glorious love to flow through us because we're so focused on obeying the commandments and just having our own little tap. It's just me and my little tap. I can't love this person. Oh, they're so annoying. Why? You're not even resting into faith, expressing itself in love. You're just trying to do it in your own works. Exactly like the ruler in the synagogue was trying to do his own way, his own commandments. But the greatest movements of love will not come from you becoming a great person. The greatest movements of love will come from you resting into His grace and letting it flow through your life. If it was any other way, you would have a reason to say, how can I not love every moment? But because God calls us to love every moment, He graces us to love every moment. John 7, verse 38 says this. I love this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God, let that river flow through our lives. Turn the tap on. There's a great living water. What does living water mean? It's talking about the living Spirit of God. What does the living water do when you come up to someone who's the other and there's death in their life? What does the living water do? It brings life into them. And that's what our love does when it's Christ in us. It brings love. For my son, I don't want the love of his father to be a tap. And all I can conjure up, I want it to be a tap linked to the reservoirs of God flowing through my life into my son. I want my wife to be wonderfully loved, not because I'm a wonderful guy, because I'm connected to a wonderful and glorious God. That's what I want for my wife. Paul said this, and he said it twice. He said, I pour myself out for you like a drink offering. Paul was pouring himself out like a drink offering. And that's what our lives are, just to be continually pouring out. Just Christ through us, pouring out. And Paul said in Colossians 1, when he talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory, he says, I've been given all the energy of Christ and all the wisdom of Christ to bring you into maturity. He realized that it wasn't him and all his skills and strengths and minds and abilities. It was the energy and power of Christ that flowed through him that he was able to bring people to maturity. So here's my 3 points for today. Number one, you owe one thing continually, and it's to love each other. It's to love your neighbor. Two, we are graced to love. So turn the tap on. And number three, the gracious love flowing through you is glorious and freeing for those around you. You've been brought into a new covenant, into a oneness with the Trinity, into enjoyment of the Father. My prayer times these days, I don't sit in my prayer time and go, oh,
God's way over there. I'm just going to pray, and hopefully by 20 minutes, I'm going to be in the presence of God with God. That's not how I pray. I've been brought into a new covenant. My prayer time is, I already stand in the blood of Jesus Christ, right where Christ stands in the Trinity, before my Father, His arms of love are around me, His songs and His dancing are for me. The Spirit of God is in me. I don't need to love the Father through my own tap. I love the Father through the Spirit of God through me unto the Father. That's my prayer time. Spirit of God, move through me to love the Father as I pray in this time. And I just want to bless Him. But then I go into my day and I'm still in the Trinity. And the Spirit of God is still in me. And someone jumps in between me and the Father. And the Spirit of God goes right through me with His love. And it goes right through them and hits the Father. They jump in the way of the Trinity. And I'm bringing them into the Trinity. Let the love of God, Spirit of God, flow right through me. Let it touch the Father's heart the way I love my family. Let it touch the Father's heart the way I love the other. Let it touch the Father's heart the way I love that person in my life who is so annoying. And we've got so many of those to love. Okay, I'm now going to move into my section on compassion. And I work for compassion, like we said. And at the moment, I'm talking to Pastor Vin about compassion and your church and how we can work together. And we're leaning into that to see what that would look like. So what I wanted to do was kind of open up a little bit about compassion to you as a church to see what God does through compassion and Sun Life. Our world. who are forgotten by the world, because they're children and they live in these other countries where they're forgotten about, still live in extreme poverty. There's still 30 million slaves. Every day under the age of 5, 16,000 children die from poverty-related issues, like simple things like diarrhea. Just simple things are killing every day. Compassion has been operating since 1952. We currently assist over 1.8 million children. We work through local churches, 7,000 local churches in 26 developing countries. Because we work through the local church every day, 400 children for our sponsorship program are coming to the Lord every day for the first time. I want to tell you about my trip. This year, I went to the Philippines and I met a couple of my children who I sponsor. This is Cleza. This is where he lives. He lives in the slums. A lot of our children live in the slums, children that come into the programs. This is where he lives. It floods here. When it floods, all the sewage comes up. You can see Cleza here. This is him in his one-room house. And look at his T-shirt. No Jesus, no life. And that's the reality for a child in poverty. His caseworker, who was also a compassion child who works for his local church to where Cleza has been brought into, she said this to me. She said, when Cleza first came into the program a year or so ago, he was so malnourished. She said, every couple of weeks, mumps would just come up on him because he was so malnourished. But when he came into the program through the local church, our sponsorship covers his doctors and his medical. So he was able to go to the doctor and that issue was resolved. After about 6 months, that had all gone away. And also his mum was getting boils and that was resolved for her as well. But this is what poverty does. It goes after the very least. And my sponsorship for Cleza, which is $48 a month, which is less than 1% of what most people earn in a year, that covers not just his discipleship through his local church. It doesn't just cover his education and his schooling. It also covers his medical. So that issue was resolved. And it really is when a child gets to know Jesus, they get to know life. Why? Because the love of a local church brings the glorious love of the Trinity into a child. This is how compassion works. Number one, we're Christ centered, because it's through the death and the resurrection of Christ that a child comes out of poverty, that poverty is broken, and he writes the law on their minds. Rather than thinking of the ways of poverty, they learn to think with the mind of Christ. We're child focused because poverty goes after the very least and hurts them the most because they can't defend themselves. And we're church based Because God didn't call an NGO to change the world. He called the local church to take children out of poverty and reverse that in Jesus' name. That's why we work through the local church. When I went to Cleese's church on Sunday, it was wonderful. This little girl here, her name's Christine. I put her on Facebook earlier in the year. And I was like, anyone want to sponsor this little girl? I'm going to this place. My wife's one of her best friends. Sponsored this little girl. And it was so wonderful. When I went to this church on Sunday, Cleese and Christine were both sitting next to each other. Both their mums had come to the Lord, and all their siblings had come to the Lord just because we sponsored these two children. Why? Because we work through the local church. And when you bring a child into a local church and you lavish them, and you give them the love and the glorious, wonderful love of Christ, and their family sees that transformation, what is going to happen to the family? They're going to see the love of God. This is another boy I sponsor, my wife and I. His name's Alex John. This boy's 12. He's 12, so he's been in the program a lot longer. And poverty has been broken in his life. He lives in the slums. But because we work for a local church, the love of the local church has just gone right through his life. He now, although he's only 12, he now works with the younger kids in the program, compassion program at his church, to mentor them, to disciple them, to work with them, to serve them. And he's 12! That's poverty broken in his life. That's the wonderful love of Christ doing glorious things in his life. When I was there, I went around with this girl. She took us around. Her name is Sunsen, and she told me her story. She said, when I was young, she said, my dad died early because he was in a lot of drugs. He died when we were young. We had a lot of siblings. She said, my sisters would go to sleep crying, because they were so hungry and they hadn't eaten anything. And she would go to sleep listening to her sisters cry. And this is how her sisters escaped poverty. They married young. That's how they escaped poverty. And no little girl should have to marry young to escape poverty. Child marriage is not the answer to poverty. The church is the answer to poverty. And she was sponsored, so things were different for her. Instead of having to get married to escape poverty, she was brought into a local church, her schooling, her education, her health, her nutritious food, mentoring, discipling was just covered in her. And now she's actually works for Compassion. She's done mission training school. This is one of the girls she mentors. She does a lot of work with, she's actually a school teacher, but does a lot at a Compassion-related church. And God's just broken poverty in her life. And you know, drugs and gangs and prostitution and child marriage, this should not be the escape for poverty. This is the stuff that we should just rise up and say, this injustice must stop. We're the church of God. We want to bring the kingdom of God into these areas and bring the kingdom of God just to transform these children's lives. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you guys a quick video. And then I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what Ben and I have been discussing, the potential between Sun Life and Compassion. So what I've been talking to Pastor Ben about is adopting a region in Africa. And it's what's been happening with some of the churches in Perth. They'll actually find a region where there's great need. We'll get 5 or 6 churches in that area to find children who are in extreme poverty. And we bring them into that local church and we raise them up that they would transform the area. They would be the ones who would rebuild the ruins like in Isaiah 61. So I've offered 3 churches, 3 countries to your church, and it's up to you guys if you're interested to look at that. I want to go through those 3 churches now. But what we would like is then individual people in this congregation can then be linked with one child in that area who's in extreme poverty. You can write them letters, you can pray for them, you can speak into their life, you can give them the word of God, you can disciple them. Then as a church, you guys could go to that region together and visit your children and speak into their life and pray for them as well if you wanted to do that as well. There's that opportunity, get to know the area, pray for the area, and break poverty in that area. So I want to show you 3 areas that I've shown. Okay, Uganda is the first one. Let me tell you about Uganda. The life expectancy of a male in Uganda is 53 years. And a female, it's 55 years. That is so low. 38% of the people live on less than $1.25 a day. Rwanda. In 1994, there was a genocide that killed up to 1 million people. And 63% of the country now live on less than $1.25 a day. Tanzania, 1.4 million living with HIV/AIDS. That affects the children. And 68% live on less than $1.25 a day. These are countries that are ravished by poverty that need us to sow into the children and raise them up in Christ. And so I'll finish with this. Isaiah 61. And this is really the heart of compassion. It really is. To bring the gospel of the kingdom. The Spirit of God is upon us. Because he has anointed us with the Spirit of God to comfort those who mourn. And then it talks about in this chapter about transforming them, giving them beauty instead of ashes. That these children would be the ones that would rebuild the ruined cities. They would become oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, the display of his splendor. And so I ask you as a church to pray about this and to pray into this. And if there's a country there that suits, we will find some churches in the area that we can connect with. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I thank you, God, for Isaiah 61, that your Spirit is upon us to love, to love, to love, to love. And that love breaks poverty in children's lives. It breaks the bondage in the people's lives around us. It brings freedom and it brings the glory of God into our relationships. We pray in your awesome name, Lord, that you would do great works of love through us this week, that we would continually pay that debt to love and to love and to love. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.